I'm Jeremy Meeks.
I'm David Helm.
And this is Preacher's Talk, a podcast for preachers and those who love preaching. Preacher's Talk is brought to you both by the Charles Simeon Trust, who train Bible teachers to preach the Bible better, and Nine Marks, who provide resources to build healthy churches. To learn more about each of these organizations, you can go to simeontrust.org and ninemarks.org. That's what you're finally catching on. Yeah. You can leave us feedback if you'd like to ask a question or give us a suggestion for a podcast episode at feedback@preacherstalk.org. Love to hear from you. Today, we have, from the great state of Wisconsin,
yes,
Mike Bullmore.
Yeah. Mike, welcome to Chicago.
Thank the you, big brother. City. Yeah.
How's it going up there?
Well, it's a different world than it is down here, yeah. I tell you. Yeah.
So, Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you serve? What do you do? Mm-hmm. What are you here for?
Yeah. Well, I am a follower of Jesus and a husband and a father and a pastor, and I just have the privilege of being with you guys and being a little part of the Chicago Course on Preaching and Simeon Trust, and glad to be whatever help I can be to this wonderful task of helping guys to preach.
We've loved all your interaction with the Simeon Trust. In fact, you know, you remember that one drawing you did on, I know this isn't where you're going today,
no,
Jeremy,
this is great.
That one drawing you did on Christ as center of things.
Yep, yep.
It kind of looked like a city skyline.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, I use that all the time. I was using last week in Rhode Island, and the thing that always bums me out when I use that, it is so good that I always have to tell everyone that Mike Bullmore did this. Because I like taking credit for all the scribblings we do.
Yeah, yeah, but, all of them, even the ones that aren't very helpful. So in this podcast episode, I want to talk about pride versus the contempt of praise, which sounds cool, and I can take no credit for it because this actually comes from a talk that I heard Mike give recently to a group of pastors. Hmm. And here's why I want to talk about it. It's because both of you, like it or not, are quote unquote somebody. And you're that not because you're a flash in the pan or whatever, but you've been around for a long time and you're mature in the faith. And especially in regard to preaching, you're a known quantity. People like listening to you. They seek your advice on preaching. They seek to hear you preach. And I want to know how you deal with the blessings and burdens of being a preacher that somebody listens to, especially in this area of pride versus contempt of praise. But Mike, I want to start with you. What do those two things mean?
Yeah, that I mean, I can't take credit for that phrase contempt of praise either. That comes right from John Chrysostom. And he talked about, briefly put, he talked about if you're going to be a good preacher, you have to have two things. You have to have gifting, just to put it in brief terms, and then this thing that he called contempt of praise. In other words, if you have gifting but not a contempt of praise, you're going to sacrifice the benefit of your gifting because you're all about yourself. You're really the opposite of contempt. You want praise, but even if
contempt
you have,
with praise,
even if you have contempt of praise, Chrysostom would say that's not enough. You got to have gifting too. So he brought those two things together, saying basically a preacher must possess this combination of gifting and humility. Contempt of grace.
Great. Yeah. Pride is a big thing when it comes to preachers and their own preaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I want to ask you the question, Dave. In what ways are you tempted toward pride currently? And I think most interestingly, how has that changed over time?
Yeah. Well, pride is one of those rooted sins. You almost could call it a fountainhead of sins.
Yeah.
In other words, when it grabs hold within us, and it does, it manifests itself in a number of unhealthy ways. And for me, that's something that you've always got to deal with. There's a self-satisfied sense where one takes pleasure in either what they've created, I'm just thinking particularly sermonically, or the praise of men. I haven't had that big a problem on that side of it. I think of somebody like Saul, who looked very humble. He's a leader. He was a somebody, head and shoulders above others. His physical manifestations gave him presence, but he came off as humble, but he had an immense fear of man. His pride was such that he did not want to look poor, or he did not want to show himself poorly in front of people.
Yeah.
And so it actually began to govern all his decisions. So his decision-making really undid him. It was his Achilles heel. He wanted to perform well in the presence of others and have their acclamation. So it can manifest itself in strange ways.
Right.
And man, you got to fight it. You got to put it to death like everything else.
Has that grown as you've continued on in the ministry and more people want to like hear you and stuff like that? Or has that faded away? Was pride a big, it's always, like you said, it's always a temptation.
Yeah.
But has that increased as time has gone on, or is it just morphed into different things?
I think you need good people around you, right? So, yeah. I mean, let's face it. You can say we're somebody, but in another sense, you know, 99.99% of people in this country never heard either of our names, and that's fine too.
Yeah.
But so it's this self-perceived sense of being somebody. Mm. I'll tell you, for me, one of the things is that I need good people around me because I can stop listening.
Mm-hmm.
It manifests itself in me when I don't really need to hear what you have to say. I already know what I know.
Right.
And that's a dangerous place to be.
Right, okay. Right, interesting.
Right.
That's why you take the, you know, Mickey out of me, as they would say in Australia.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, Mike, how about you? Is this something that you wrestle with?
I mean, absolutely. You're going to wrestle with this till you die.
Yeah. That's good news, right? If a guy's out there and he's like, I'm really wrestling with pride.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's more good news than just that, thankfully.
Oh, sure. Right.
But, you know, the Westminster Catechism says what? The chief goal of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Mm-hmm. I think written right after that should be, and the chief temptation of man is to glorify self.
Mm,
and that dies hard.
Wow.
You know, you asked the question earlier, does it change? I think earlier in my preaching, I was more, what's that lovely last verse of Be Thou My Vision? Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise.
Yeah.
I was hungry for man's praise early in my preaching. You know, you try to do it subtly, but, you know, you're wondering, are people going to say something? Are people going to give me positive feedback?
Right.
That has changed pretty dramatically. That seems like a more immature form of pride. Strange to think this way, but a more mature form of pride is now the way I face it is I want credit.
Okay.
I don't just want positive feedback. You see that good thing happening over there in the church?
Right.
I want credit for that. That's because of me or because of my influence or I had something to do with that. That is pernicious.
See, you know, that's really interesting because I've watched your ministry from one degree of separation now for the better part over a decade.
Mm.
And I would have said that Mike Bullmore is gracious, earnest, by disposition, humble, and not credit seeking.
Just goes to show you.
And all those things might be true, but it's good to hear you say, you know what, there's an internal battle that even guys like you have to run down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I do think it's a fight, but it's a good fight, right?
Right.
It's worth fighting. And thank God progress can be made in this. But it's a shifting kind of thing.
Right. Now, here's the question, Mike. Does that mean that the preacher should not desire to see the word preached on Sunday faithfully over time do work in the life of the church?
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, sometimes you think, okay, you hear people saying good things or nice things about you. Well, what are you supposed to do? Preach poorly?
Right.
No, you do your best and you recognize that God uses that and you just can't feed on it.
Okay.
So in this process of putting this to death, you don't want to be so kind of closed that you don't benefit from encouragement.
Right.
Or on the other hand, you don't that you cut yourself off from the benefit of criticism. You've got to receive feedback. And thankfully, some of that feedback is encouraging. God means you to be encouraged. We need encouragement. But when you start feeding on it.
Yeah.
When you start looking to that.
You start snorting it.
It's addictive, isn't it?
And quite honestly, you can tell the difference. If the Holy Spirit of God is in you, you know the difference between receiving encouragement and feeding on man's empty praise.
I was thinking, you talk about feeding. I was actually thinking of Peter in Acts 12 as you were talking, because it's a chapter by way of contrast between Peter and Herod. This idea really that the difference between the two was that when Herod received the praises of the people, he kind of took it unto himself.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, the worms fed on him.
Right.
Right.
But Peter, it says that Peter, when he was released from jail and he could have taken credit for all the way God was preserving him in the midst of things, he holds up his hand to be silent and he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And that's the thing for me too, like taking credit. I've seen myself do that even in the last few years on things unrelated to preaching. And it's insidious that we would neglect to give the Lord credit for everything that's taking place.
Yeah. Okay, so what about the guy out there who's like, I hear this whole thing about pride and all that, but I'm actually, I'm struggling with being too kind of self-effacing, which I think is another form of pride.
It can be, right? For sure.
But what about this guy who's like, he's struggling to take any kind of right appreciation for his work.
Right.
Have you ever run into this, like maybe a season in your ministry where you're just like, I'm doing this, but I'm trying to struggle through. Dave, you want to speak to that?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking of two instances in the Bible. One, I'm thinking of John the Baptist, where I'm trying to interpret the meaning, you know, I'm not the one, I'm just the bridegroom's voice. My joy is complete. He must increase, I must decrease.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think that's accurate. And to be emulated, particularly when you realize John the Baptist was the most significant prophetic preacher of the first century.
Yeah, according to Jesus.
And even according to the time, I mean, you got three times as much material on John the Baptist and Josephus as you have on Jesus.
Right.
So here you have the number one guy who's actually saying that. And then Paul's the other one where he says something to the effect of, you know, I am what, the least of all? Mm-hmm. What am I trying to reference there?
Yeah.
I'm the worst of all the sinners.
The least of the apostles.
Yeah, and the worst of all sinners. And I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
Who are you kidding? Right. Are you being sarcastic here or real here? But there's something there about, you know, not wanting to be false with your piety, but to arrive where John the Baptist really understood that.
Mm-hmm.
My joy is to be a voice for the groom. Right. I'm not the groom.
Right.
We're just best men.
Yeah.
Right.
Lucky to stand up.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, at the same time, so this is a wonderful thing about this. This truth that David has just talked about stands. And at the very same time, all you got to do to answer this young preacher or this older preacher's question of, you know, am I being too self-effacing? You just go to those passages in Scripture where it's repeated again and again that we should be encouraging one another. We should be speaking words. And by the way, biblically speaking, encouragement, I love this word. It means to put courage in somebody.
Yeah,
it's not just flattery. You are putting something there that wasn't there before through your words. You're helping that brother stay courageous, stay faithful.
Yeah.
I think about Jonathan coming to David and helping him find his strength in God. That's what we're supposed to be doing for one another. And the Bible gives its happy endorsement to that kind of language, which we should receive. So if someone comes to you and says, so I had a guy come to me this last Sunday, elderly man, and just I could see him walking across the lobby looking at me like, I have something to say to you. And he spoke words to me that were, of course, nice to hear.
Sure.
But you know the effect of them? They put courage in my soul.
Huh.
And the last thing he said to me was, keep going, steady on.
Yeah.
So now I want to keep doing what God helped me do that morning again. Not because somebody flattered me, but because someone encouraged me.
Okay.
And there's got to be room for that in our, you know, in our receiving of words from people.
All right. So sometimes we will have some people in our church come up to us and give us encouragement that helps us split this field between pride and just kind of like self-debasement. Oh, I'm so terrible.
Right.
But Dave, where do I look for this encouragement, this killing of pride, and at the same time, sustaining of my soul in my preaching? If I've just got a bunch of grandmas in the church who are going like, I just, you know, that was great. Thanks.
Yeah, well, fortunately, I've never had a congregation that's like that. I got a lot
of there's a lot of guys out there who are like, I'd love to get this. You guys keep talking about criticism or whatever. I'd love to find this, but where does this come from?
Right.
Yeah, I think for me, I don't want to hear from everybody in the congregation, but I need to trust certain voices within the congregation. And I need to be more open than I normally am to both criticism and at times praise.
Yeah.
Because that'll happen too. Somebody will come by and encourage you, and I'll be like, well, you know, my response will be like, well, you know, you need to get out more often. You know? Well, I haven't heard preaching like that in a while. Well, you need to get out more.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, what am I doing there? What am I doing there?
That's right.
Am I feeding the flesh side? Probably.
Yep.
And Paul, you know, he's got that thing where he says, you know, I am what I am by the grace of Christ. He's not afraid to say, you know what? I work harder than you do.
Right.
Yeah. He's not afraid to say, I worked harder than all those guys. But he's also got that sense of, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, the Lord causes the growth. Neither of us are anything. The Lord is everything. So learning how to handle yourself, be in touch with yourself, be aware of yourself to what the Lord is doing in and through you, and yet realizing that He's doing it all or it's not getting done.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, at the same time, if you kind of rebuff that, you're shutting down somebody else who's ministering as they should be to encourage their pastor.
Yeah.
And so for me to say something along those lines of, oh, you know, it's nothing, actually quenches a spiritual operation in the life of the church that God intends to build. You know, let me just...
Man, that's kind of a stinger.
I was just going to say...
I mean, you're saying I'm so correction. Prideful that I actually... I'm so prideful that I figured out how to handle it.
Not just you, man.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a temptation for all of us to say, oh, you know, it's all God. Well, it sure looked like you up there.
Right.
You know?
And you didn't do any work this week?
Yeah, exactly. So let me share something with you here. This has been absolutely foundational for me. This is the place I go to deal with this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And, you know, from the beginning here, Paul's talking about stewardship and faithfulness. But then he comes to this. He says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in the dark and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation. So those verses actually end up being, for me, weapons to wield. So when someone comes to me and perhaps is a little bit too effuse, I have to put that phrase in my mind. It's a very small thing to me. It matters little to me what you think. In fact, it matters little what I think about my preaching.
Right.
My thinking about my preaching is as irrelevant as your thinking about my preaching. The only thing that matters is God's judgment. And then I go to that, and then on that day, you will receive your commendation. So I remind myself, not now. Now's not the time for commendation, then. Now, I want to make sure I don't do that so strongly that I prohibit this person from encouraging me and I receive appropriate encouragement. I just don't want it that to assume proportion. And so that passage helps me so much.
It grounds you.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
yeah.
What's interesting about that passage is it's that he's dealing with people who are critical of his preaching and his person. And so he comes back to, well, I don't answer to you. I'm not even, in other words, criticism probably helped Paul fight the natural pride that would emerge given all the things that he had. I mean, here's a guy who got drawn up into the third heaven. Here's a guy that if he wants to boast, he's able to boast.
He's got something to boast about.
Yeah.
Right?
So how is pride handled? How do you arrive at that moment? You arrive at handling pride well, sometimes with criticism.
Yep.
So David's thing, where what's that dude's name that ran alongside the ridge and just yelled at him all the time?
Shimei, however you say his name.
And, you know, they're like, when do we take this critic out? Can we take this guy out? And David's like, no.
Right.
How do we know that the Lord has not sent him in order to instruct me and discipline me?
Yeah.
So if you want to handle pride, your critics are just that. They are your best critics.
Yeah.
And they're instruments of God to help you along the way.
Yeah. Even if those criticisms that you're hearing are not always the most legitimate or well-meaning, it seems like.
Right.
I do this all the time on both sides of it, both with praise and criticism. Especially if it's kind of just general, that blessed my soul or something. I'm always like, oh, thank you. Why? And you kind of see people like deer in the headlights, like, what? And I'm trying to do two things. First of all, I legitimately want to hear what they have to say.
Right.
And then also, as a kind of just like a side gig, it's like, I actually want you to be thoughtful about the criticism or the praise that you're giving to preachers. And over the period of time that I did this in my church, people were just, they'd know, like, if I'm going and I'm going to say something, I've got to have a reason for it. And it actually was legitimately encouraging. Oh, this person really has something. I remember asking sometimes, why is that? On both sides of criticism and praise. And they had the most wonderful answer. I was like, oh, okay. So this encouragement thing actually comes as I've asked them to thoughtfully, for my sake and for both of our sakes, to reflect on where that's coming from.
That's good. But let me bump on that. So we're at an interesting point in evangelicalism within conservative circles when it comes to pride, both for the people and the preacher. So we're on the heels of a severe pruning where we have seen people want worldly-like leaders within the church.
Right.
And they've fed this, I'm a follower of this guy over that guy. So pride is a people problem in our church that needs biblical correction. And there are more than enough preachers that are willing to embrace the acclamation and the affirmation of the Christian populace, and all of a sudden you see how it just torpedoes entire ministries. So pride is not just a preacher problem. People are feeding it. Preachers feed on it. both are being disciplined by it, it seems to me at the moment.
Right.
Right. Which really heightens Paul's words to Timothy, be an example.
Right.
And he doesn't just say, you know, generally be an example in this, in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. And so what an opportunity. I appreciate you saying this, Dave. What an opportunity for us to model something, not just with reference to our own, but with reference to how to be in the world.
Amen.
And that's how we're supposed to lead, right?
Yep.
Be an example to the flock.
Amen. So, well, God help us to avoid pride and to shun self-effacement and rightly be ministers of God's word before the people for all of our good.
Amen.
And when we grow up, you know, be like Mike Fulmore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah.